go into our time of envy in the household, and as our series of seven deadly sins of everyday life, amen, as we reflect back over some of the things that we've talked about, of the virtues that defeat sin, we see pride is defeated by humility or humbleness as a virtue. We talked about lust, it's defeated by chastity. We've talked about gluttony, it's defeated by self-restraint. And we've talked about greed, it's defeated by clarity. And here tonight we're talking about envy. It's defeated by kindness and loveliness. Amen. Here after tonight, we'll like two more in this series, which deals with sloth or laziness, which is dealt with diligence, and also wrath or anger, which is dealt with by patience. Amen. Here are the seven deadly sins as we look and realize that this is the fifth envy that we're on tonight. And so as we continue to move right on along and realizing what envy is, it's a heart. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy basically rots the bones, as Proverbs 14:30 tells us. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. And I thank God for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice, according to James 3:16. Amen. Envy is perverted because it loves what other people possess rather than what is good and beautiful and true. And so envy eats away at the heart of an envious person. And envious takes away the gratitude. Envious people close themselves off to the grace of God. And so here, as we continue with the seven deadly sins and their corresponding virtues tonight, we're reminded of a time. Let me back that up very quickly. As we're reminded of a time where Cain slew Abel out of envy. I hope that you can see that okay. Saul was envious of David. Esau was envious toward Jacob. I thank God each and every one of us, as we look and realize tonight, that the greatest blessing that we have, as we look and realize that all of us are blessed, amen. I remember D.L. Moody was telling a story about an eagle one time, and he saw a man out with a bow and arrow, and that eagle was envious of that other eagle that was flying up there, maybe because it could fly higher and so forth. And so that eagle told that archer, says, I bet you can't shoot that eagle that's flying up there. And so he drew back and he tried to shoot that eagle, but that eagle was too far up into the sky before the arrow to reach. It fell short. And so the man said, well, if you will give me some of your feathers, maybe I can make it go a little bit further. And so as D.L. Moody began to tell the story about this eagle that was so envious of the other eagle, that he said, well, you got to pull another feather. And you got to pull another feather. And before long, that eagle had pulled so many feathers that he couldn't get away. He was at the mercy of the man with a bow, and it cost his own life. Now, each and every one of us, when we look and realize today that all of us are dealing with something as a matter of enviousness, and as D.L. Moody told this story of this, we begin to realize that Moody, his application of the story of the eagle, if you're envious of others, as he says, if you're envious of others, the one you will hurt the most by your actions will be yourself. And so that's the thing. Moses and Aaron and Miriam were the team that was sent by God to help the nation of Israel. According to Micah chapter 6, verse 8, everybody in Israel knew that this team were God's chosen service, but that Moses was the leader. Miriam, the sister of Moses, was a leader and a prophetess, and Aaron, Moses' brother, as a high priest, was a spiritual leader of the entire nation. And man, this is awesome. But I'm going to tell you, as all of this was going on a little bit further back, envy came from Miriam and Aaron, that they begin to speak against Moses. And we're going to read the scriptures here in just a few minutes. And all evidence points to the fact that Miriam was a leader in this family rebellion. She did begin her attack by accusing Moses of taking over an authority, but he suggested that he had committed a questionable act by marrying a Cushite woman or an Ethiopian. That's the way that she went about it. You see, it was probably after the death of his first wife, Zipporah, that Moses has married a Cushite woman. And it's important to know that in itself, this marriage was not wrong in light of God's command, which only forbade the Israelites to marry the daughters of Canaan, according to Exodus chapter 34, verse 16. But when Miriam got around to her real complaint, it was that Moses was the only spokesperson for God, And weak-willed Aaron, as he's always been, gave in to the evil suggestion of his sister Miriam. And so here we see the story of envy in the household coming forth. Amen. Moses didn't try to vindicate himself, but he left his defense to the Lord, which he did by inflicting leprosy on Miriam. I'm kind of giving away the message here. But I thank God, back a little earlier in chapter 11, before we got into Numbers chapter 12, all of a sudden, Moses was struck down by discouragement, because here we begin to realize that it's a serious thing to do something to a spiritual leader like this. But I thank God, each and every one of us, when we realize that we don't need to entertain the spirit of envy, because each and every one of us, Numbers chapter 11 shows us how grumbling can be, amen. And so it's sad when we see something like this taking place, amen, the enviousness that was there. And so here we begin to realize, it says, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. The word displeased means he was so hurt. He was so cut down by all of this discouraging things from the people that it broke down. And you know what? He had like a nervous breakdown, so to speak. That's exactly what that word means. It may not sound harsh to you, but Moses also was displeased. And I tell you, and according to the Hebrew, that's exactly what it means. He was so disheartened, just like Elijah broke down, just like Jonah broke down. Each and every one of these ones had a time that they broke down. And so here we begin to realize that during a time like this, here is a picture of where Miriam is given that complete leprosy. And the only thing that saves her is the mercy and the grace that Moses, out of his compassion of begging God, that he began to beg her, God, to say, God, out of his prayer, Lord, please restore her. Now, that's the love that we ought to have one for another. Even though someone else is envious of you, or even though someone else wants what you've got, that they're so envious of you. And so, you know, envious things is something that the devil always tries to use in breaking up the unity of the family of God, amen. The best way to deal with envy is to start counting our own blessings instead of counting others' blessings. We must not view someone else's acceptance as our rejection, but when we put our confidence in God and who he has made us to be, praise God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We will leave no room for envy or jealousy to wreak havoc in our lives, and so we put our confidence in God, amen. And so I thank God. Envy is a whimpering whisper within that is always trying to do damage to those. And so Moses defends his humble attitude, and he answers all of the accusations directly to Aaron and Miriam. And I thank God that's the compassion that we begin to see out of him. Envious is so dangerous, because envious grieves God. When I say, why him and not me? You know what? Hey, I'm actually saying, you goof, Lord. And so offensive is this to God, that his response to Miriam was not only to infect her with leprosy, but to depart. Envy eats away at us. Miriam was smitten with leprosy and the disease that eats away at one's skin and causes a great stench from the person. Envy does that too. When envy takes root in the soil of your soul, the fruit is stinking that you have, that the Lord. James nails it when he says, for where envy is, there's confusion in every evil work. Amen. Envy pulls away as well, because Miriam was isolated in her leprosy condition for a full week. Envy does things like that. It causes us to close the door, to pull the shades, and to isolate ourselves from those whom that are envious. And envy holds others back. The entire congregation was stuck for 7 days waiting for Miriam to be healed of her leprosy, envious condition. And instead of enjoying and using what God has given us, when we envy what we don't have, we hold back the church in the same way. And she can't move forward. The church can't, with envy and strife, strangling the gifts of everyone that they've been given this. And so it's sad today that we see this. And so I thank God as we go forward, amen. As it tells us in Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you, amen. And so I thank God. Let's get over into the reading of the Word of God, amen. And I thank God as we look and realize that that here is one of those deadly sins of envy, amen, that we started back on as well. As we jump into the story of Numbers 12 and the people of Israel have been cooling their heels at Mount Sinai for approximately 1 year. Our story comes around 1,400 years before Jesus. It is finally for Israel their time to leave for their next step toward the promised land. Here we begin to see the family squabble come out. How remarkable, unhealthy that we could be, even if we follow the Lord, that somehow or another, always something can transpire and take place. Listen to the reading of the Word of God. At the top, we've got the King James. In the middle, we've got the English Version. I'll have this on a PDF that I'll put on the sermon audio later that you can read this as well. And at the very bottom is the NIV translation. I'll be reading the King James. I thank God. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Wasn't nothing about the marriage. It was about leadership. And so the criticism and the questioning of God's servant. You see, when you question the man of God, you're questioning God. When you don't have the confidence that you have envious things, verses 1, 2, and 3 deals with that criticism and questioning of God's servant. Amen. It goes on, he says, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Did you hear that? Let me back it up. The Lord heard what they said. And so it goes on, he says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. You see, that's exactly what we've got to do today. Each and every one of us, people are criticizing and grumbling and murmuring against their employer. They're grumbling all the time against something that they wanted to happen so much faster. I've met so many people like this that they wanted it done yesterday. Politicians, taxes, teachers, bad luck, the media. Why, you get this envy going on the news channel every single day. The list goes on and on, but there's one person who is criticized and grumbled about as much as any other in the professional world, and that is the minister of God. And that was what was taking place here with Moses, amen. And so here we're going to realize of this criticism that was taking place of all the things that were happening during this time that we see, amen. And so the people had complained about their hardship so much so that God was forced to chastise and judge them back in Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 2 and 3. And the people had complained about not having enough variety in their food, not enough meat or fresh vegetables, amen. And so they were complaining all the time. Moses had become deeply discouraged by the people's constant criticism and complaining. The grumbling and the murmuring got to Moses. He became so deeply troubled and distressed to the point that he wanted God to remove him and get him out of the situation. You know what? You know what? Sometimes you don't realize what pastors and leaders and deacons and teachers and Sunday school teachers all go through, amen. There's some people that can make the job even more stressful than it already is. And so, you know, every year I get around, I get to thinking, this is my last year. You know, when I get around, because see, I stay the whole year if the Lord permits me to stay alive to try to fulfill out. But every time it gets around closer to the end of the year, I say, Lord, is this my last year? Is this my last year? You know, because, I want the Lord's will to be done. I ain't there for the money. I ain't there for the prestige. I'm not there except for the do, if that's what God wants me to do, amen. I'm not there but no other reason than God would want me to be there, amen. And the church body of Christ to be there, to be the right person that would be there for the church, amen. I thank God. You know what? I've been there a long time, and I'm very thankful and blessed for that, amen. But I thank God we also want to ask and pray, Lord, what do you want done? Lord, what do you want to do, amen? And so I thank God of all the grumbling. Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because of his wife, because she was of a different race. But that had nothing to do with it. That was the complaint that she was bringing up, amen. And so it's sad when we look and we begin to see things about this, amen. But every one of us today, as Miriam and Aaron were going to criticize Moses' marriage and all of that had taken place, amen. You know, that's exactly how the world is today, amen. Of all the questioning of the mission of Moses is what it was about. To them, Moses was not the only leader, the spokesperson chosen by God. God had also chosen and spoken through them. But they were not criticizing the right of Moses to be a leader or grumbling against his position of leadership. They were grumbling because their call and their position was not as honored and recognized as his. They wanted to be the top person that was going on in there, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You've got to go by the way of the Lord, amen, and by the way of the cross, praise God. And whoever that is, whether that's the pastor, amen, it's not the clique of that family that's got all the control in that church, amen. That ain't how God wants it. That's not pleasing to him. There is so much envy that goes on in the house of God across this nation today. But I'm going to tell you, note the warning, amen. The Lord heard them complain in verse 2 that we read, amen. And so the implication is that the Lord hears everything. He hears all the things. Nothing is said or done upon this earth that passes his notice, amen. He hears every criticism and every attack, every grumbling and every murmuring. He saw Mary and Moses and the primary call of the ministry of his dear servant, and the idea is God stood ready to defend and execute justice on behalf of his servant. You better be careful if you've done something like this, because God will deal with you as harsh as it can be done when you come against, you know. And so the two main characters in the book of Numbers are the Lord and Moses. But from the human side, Moses dominates the story. Moses is God's appointed leader, the lawgiver, the great mediator between Israel and their God, amen. And so we're going to be able to look at three truths to strengthen our families in the area of envy in just a few minutes, amen. But let's get right on back over there as we get on right on through the reading of the Word of God. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three under the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. Man, can you imagine? God done called them out from the congregation. Now listen, from verses 4 all the way down to 12, you're going to see the chastisement and the judgment of God that will be unleashed, amen. Because in verse 5, and the Lord God came in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. It goes on to verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, wherewith then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Man, boy, I'm going to tell you, boy, I thank God each and every one of us, when we look and realize that here he's calling them out on the carpet, amen, and he's telling them, here is the chastisement of God that is coming forth, amen. God summoned them out, amen, and God strongly rebuked them and defended the unique call to his dear servant Moses, amen. And the first thing that God said, listen to my words, amen. But why, thank God, he said, listen to my words and heed what I say. And God spoke to his prophets through visions and dreams. But this was not so with Moses. God had called Moses to minister to all of God's house and to all of God's people, amen, is what he's telling them, amen. And so the three things in particular that set Moses apart from all of the other prophets, number one, Moses was extremely faithful to the Lord, and the ministry to which God called him, amen, is what he said in verse 7, amen. And then the second thing, God spoke with Moses directly, not in riddles, amen. I thank God is what he just said. And thirdly, here he tells us in verse 8 that Moses actually saw the form of God, amen. What does that mean, amen? Moses saw the form, amen, of God. It does not mean that he saw the unveiled presence of God, amen. But it means that Moses saw a form, he saw a shape, a cloudly image of God, not the very being of God. But I thank God we note God's rebuke of Miriam and Aaron. They should have feared questioning the mission of God's servant. And it's sad, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant? Why it said right there, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And so, boy, I'm going to tell you, each and every one of us, here is the place. God judges and he chastises them. God's anger begins to come out. And he says, listen, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, And he departed, amen. Thank God, God's anger burned against Miriam and Aaron, and he chastised them. God left them. The cloud of his presence abruptly lifted from the tabernacle, as we continue reading. And the cloud departed from off of the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Whew. Man, can you imagine? If you woke up in the morning just because you was envious of somebody in your household, and all of a sudden you're white as a sheep, you're white all over, you begin to stink because you've been given the judgment of leprosy. And so here, the instigator of the attack upon God's servant was Miriam, and immediately she was afflicted by leprosy like a skin. I tell you, she had committed a terrible sin. She was afflicted with a very disease that symbolized the sinful nature of man itself. Amen. Aaron was stricken with a terrible fear. So listen as we continue to go on. In verse 11, and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Now, I'm telling you, I thank God. When he turned, he saw the ghastly disease that had suddenly moved and covered Miriam's body, that he was stricken with horror. And he cried out to Moses for mercy, confessing his and Miriam's sin against him. Amen. He cried out for the healing of Miriam. Amen. And so her flesh, as it was totally white, God judges and he chastises every one of us when we sin. God disciplines us. God corrects us in the fashions and the forms that we need to be. Amen. And so Aaron feared the anger and the judgment of God. We too must be able to fear that anger and that judgment. You know, today we say a lot of horrible things, that we envious things about somebody else. God calls and he gifts believers differently. Every one of us are different. Every believer is called to be distinctive. Everybody used to make fun of D.L. Moody because he didn't have the proper English, amen. But God uses everybody, amen. Have you been a part of our church and you made fun of somebody in our church house? You better look out, because God ain't done with you yet. And so Moses was called to this particular ministry. Miriam and Aaron to theirs. And so it was with all believers. We're all called to our ministry. Amen. God calls every one of us to serve him and to serve him faithfully in this ministry that he's given us and called us all to. Amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, that we're given that great blessing each and every day of our lives. Amen. And so I thank God as we continue on. He tells us, he says, and Moses cried unto the Lord. Here comes the prayer. Here comes the great prayer. He says, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Boy, I thank God. Here we see the great mercy and we see the great compassion of God in verses 13 all the way down to verse 16, where Moses began to cry out and drop down in prayer that I showed you a picture of earlier. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. Boy, I tell you, God, he had mercy, but he said, I'm going to make you remember this leprosy. You're going to stay without the camp for 7 days, and you're going to feel the effects of this. And in verse 15, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And lastly, in verse 16, and afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. And I tell you, as we look and realize the mercy and the compassion of God in these verses, amen, Moses interceded and he cried out from the depths of his heart that God would have mercy on his sister Miriam, amen. Oh, I tell you, God acted, he healed her, but she was still to be disciplined. She had committed a serious offense, and she needed to learn a lesson, amen, because a person reaps what they sow. Listen, church, if you've done it, you're going to reap it too. You're going to pay the price, and you might be paying that price right now because of something that you've done that you shouldn't have, that you said that was envious or grumbling about somebody, amen. You're going to pay that price. But I'm going to tell you, as We realize that envy in the household today, God acted, he healed her, but of the overflowing mercy of God, God led his people to wait on her until she returned and could rejoin the march to the promised land. And I thank God, God led his people to the desert of Paran, which was to be a staging area for the entering into the promised land. Amen. You know, as we learn a lesson from every generation of people, God heals prayer. He hears prayer. And if a believer cries out to the Lord, he cries out from the depths of his heart as Moses did for his sister, God hears and he answers. Oh, how believers must cry out for their families, their brothers. They mean to cry out for their sisters, amen. They need to cry out for their parents, amen. They need to cry out for their children, hallelujah, amen. I thank God, as a Thompson Shane, as we run reference, that he tells us, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, amen. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us, God is merciful. He's compassionate. He forgave Miriam's sin, amen. And I thank God, and he met her need. He'll forgive our sins and he'll cleanse us if we will only call out to him in our time that we go through, amen. And so I thank God, it brings us up to the three truths to strengthen our families in an area of envy. We see the green-eyed monster of beware, amen. Boy, I thank God, envy can be a powerful force in our lives. All of us are embarrassed to admit that we've experienced it at one time or another. Envy inside of sibling rivalry between family members, amen, as it was with the house of Moses. Moses' siblings had two problems with their brother. First, they didn't care for his wife. Secondly, they didn't like Moses in his elevated position and role. And as the narrative shows, envy can quickly kill the harmony of your family. Listen out there today. I'm not only the family of God in the church house, but your own immediate family. We see the examples of envy. Envy comes in many shapes and forms. Envy is when I'm not satisfied with what God has given me. And so envy is strong when one child does all the caring for their aging parents while the other brothers and sisters do very little. The one with all the responsibility is envious of their friends and family tree time. I remember each and every one of us can have something that happens, but here we define envy where greed wants more. Envy. Envy wants someone else and what they've got, amen. Envy's that deep down green feeling that's triggered when someone else achieves what you want or has what you think you deserve, amen. That's when you resent that success, amen, and that feeling that someone else has what you want, amen. And so every one of us, when we look at those seven deadly sins of everyday life, envy arises at the doorstep of every single one of us at some time or another, amen. And so envy led Joseph's brothers to sell him into the Egyptian slavery, all because Joseph was his father's favorite child, amen. It was King Saul's envy of a young successful warrior by the name of David that stirred when the young ladies of the day sang, Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000. The psalmist Asaph admits to envy. He says, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperous of the wicked, in Psalm 73:3, amen. And it's for this reason the Bible tells every one of us, amen, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways, in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 31, amen. Yes, you can nearly lose your faith when you're envious of fools. In fact, the Bible tells us, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day, in Proverbs 23:17. And so I thank God, every one of us, when we go through life today, the Bible places the vice of envy right alongside, nose to nose, if you will, such serious evils such as drunkenness, as the horrible things that the Bible mentions in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. In fact, the chilling warning of the Bible against envy warns envy makes the bones rot, according to Proverbs 14:30, amen. And so Pilate recognized envy for what it was, because the Bible tells us that Pilate knew that it was envy that led the religious leaders to deliver up Jesus to his death, according to Matthew chapter 27, verse 18, amen. For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up, that it said in Matthew 27, 18. Pilate knew man. And remember, you don't become a Roman governor by falling off of a turnip truck. Pilate listened to every accusation, to every witness, and his concern told him that Jesus was delivered up because of these religious leaders envied his success, they envied his popularity, and envy is so evil it can even deliver up the Son of God to be crucified. Hey, you know envy is that evil? And we have to keep a close eye on envy, for it's no little sin. No envy, I tell you, it's a wicked thing. Envy. Now, Moses' brother and sister waged a war of envy over the elevated role God had given Moses. And Miriam was taking the lead here. It was obvious. Yeah, man, she was the one that was going to take the lead of everything. But it's sad what took place where God began to take care of it. Moses' sister had a long going for her. You remember she was the one that saved the baby Moses, and yet she kept a careful eye on Moses when he was a baby, when their mother placed him in the River Nile to the defiance of the Pharaoh's order of killing all the Hebrew children. And then she arranged for their mother to care for Moses as his nanny when the Pharaoh's daughter rescued him. Man, I'm going to tell you, Miriam was done some spectacular thing, and discovered that Miriam leading the nation in a song of victory, celebrating God's righteous power when they all crossed safely over the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15. So here is a leader of a woman for Moses' day, a leader of the choir, if you will. But I thank God here she began to pick out on some things. And boy, I'm going to tell you, she had some envious in here. Envy is the problem of the rich and the poor. Envy is the problem of the Democrat and the Republican. Envy is the problem of the presidency where Trump was in there and everyone was envious of him and didn't like him. You can have Joe Biden as a president today and won't say a thing about him or win none of his bad things. But everything about Trump was all envious this and envious that. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when envious because of our insecurities, wouldn't you agree? We envy because of our pride is wounded. We're envy that digs the mud that jealousy will throw at the success. And it's the notion that we feel when someone else gets something we don't feel that they deserve. And so look at our story here tonight, amen. Aaron and Miriam spoke against their brother Moses. Envy can be poison and harmony to your family. And so here, Moses' special place. Not everything about the wife was probably nothing more than a smokescreen for the real problem that it was talking about, amen. And so here we begin to see with these three, amen, we see the care and discipline of God as we look forward, amen. Here we begin to see that the team mascot, you may have heard of some of the things that that has your favorite mascot of everything about you. Every one of us have a mascot. If you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, amen, we got a mascot, amen. Praise God. Each and every one of us have a team that we cheer for, praise God. And so I thank God, every one of us, God, as he does the things for us today, I thank God we are a team for the Lord, amen. Just like Miriam, just like Aaron, just like Moses, they were a team that worked together. But God's discipline, amen, as he challenges Miriam and Aaron, suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, come out, and boy, he began to deal with that situation. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, when we realize that there's an old story that's been circulated for years about a family of wayward members of a small country church, and at one time they were quite active in the church, but they had fallen away and they had lost interest in the church. They were true backsliders. They were saved, but they had just gotten away from the Lord, and the deacons went and they talked to the father and his three sons, Jim, John, and Sam, about their condition. But no one had any success in convicting them to return to the Lord. One day, when all the boys were out in the pasture, a large rattlesnake bit John, the middle son. He became very sick. They called the doctor, and after they were examining him, the doctor said, there's nothing that I can do. About all you can do now is just pray. The father immediately called that small church, and he asked the pastor to come, and he told him of John's condition. He said, Pastor, would you please pray for my boy, John? I want you to listen to this pastor's nearly comical prayer that he began to pray. He said, oh, wise and righteous Father, we thank thee that in thy wisdom thou hast sent this rattlesnake to bite John in order to bring him to his senses. He's not been inside the church house for years, and it is doubtful that in all of this time he has even felt the need of prayer. Now we trust that this will be a valuable lesson to him, and that it will lead him to genuine repentance. Now, O Father, will thou send another snake to bite the brother Sam, and another one to bite the brother Jim, and a big one to bite the old man? We've been doing everything we know for years to restore them, but to no avail. It seems that all of our combined efforts in the church could not do what this one snake has done. So Lord, send us bigger and better rattlesnakes, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I wonder how many, boy, I couldn't tell you how many hours I've spent with Brother Darrell Pruitt as we went for years to try to get people back in the house of God. Years and prayers to get them back in the house of God. Boy, we can't do what a rattlesnake can do, can we? Man, I'm going to tell you, we see the envy that's out there today, amen. The envy of all the things that are taking place. And so we see, not only was it The green-eyed monster to beware, amen. A caring discipline of God that tells us to trust God. But lastly, in closing, we see the antidote to envy. We've got to trust Him. We've got to trust Him. Envy makes you look at what you don't have. And in doing so, it poisons the feelings of enjoyment of what you do have. Envy is when we compare ourselves to someone else and ask, why you? It's when we hear ourselves wonder, why not me? Being grateful, I thank God, we look at each and every one of us about the antidote, or the virtue to envy. The antidote to the poison of envy is being satisfied with what God has given you. That's it. When you are satisfied with what God has given you, you will kill the roots of envy every single time. Aaron and Marion needed to say to themselves, God is our Father, and He knows what's good for us, and it isn't keeping the best stuff for anyone else. He's doing what He needs to do. I thank God He'll provide for my needs. He'll know more about what I need than I do. The antidote is simple as it is powerful. Trust in God in every area of our life. God is a good Father, and He'll not withhold any good gift from any one of His children. Praise God. With that, Miriam could only stop to consider all of the good gifts that God had given her. Remember, Miriam rescued the baby Moses. He was alive only because of her actions. And if Moses ate steak while she ate grub worms as a slave in Egypt, it was because she saved him and nursed him to be elevated to that position. Amen. Boy, I tell you, Moses' education and leadership skills were due to his sister's heroic actions, amen. Why wasn't she grateful to God for the part that she was allowed to play in the redemption of the entire nation of Israel? Praise God. God is a good Father. He will not withhold any good gift from any one of His children. Hey, are you a child of God tonight? Have you trusted God's Son for the forgiveness, amen, of your sins? Hey, if so, then be grateful for that good gift that God has given you tonight. Amen. Be grateful, amen. But also be aware of discouragement, even as Moses got discouraged. I want to warn every believer about the trick that Satan plays on all of us. Watch out for that discouragement that he brings. There's an old fable that says that one day the devil was auctioning off his tools, but there was one tool marked not for sale. And he was auctioning off fear. And he was auctioning off hatred. And he was auctioning off pride. He was auctioning off envy, amen. He was auctioning off lust, amen. But there was a strange looking tool there that was well worn and had been used very, very often. And somebody said, why is that not for sale? And the old devil said, I can't afford to sell that one. That's my most valuable tool. That's discouragement, amen. He said, it's so worn because I use it to offer to slip it in. And when I pry a person's or a man or a woman's heart open with discouragement, then I can do almost anything I want to do, amen. And so Satan can do more with discouragement than he can with any other tool. Discouragement has always been one of Satan's best tools. I tell you, few things led to discouragement like envy. Envy and discouragement are pry bars in the hands of Satan to crack open the doors of our hearts so that a thousand other sins can try to rush in. Amen. And I tell you, I remember each and every one of us as the old devil is a sinister minister of discouragement. Amen. And I quote that because Adrian Rogers used to say that. And I'll say it again. He said, the old devil is the sinister minister of discouragement. And the antidote is as simple as it is powerful. Trusting God in all areas. Trusting God in all areas of life. God is a good father, and he will not withhold any good gift from any one of his children. Amen. I thank God as I close out at the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Jesus spoke of a cup. It was not a literal cup, but it was a real cup. Jesus was thinking ahead to his death on the cross, and he called it a cup. Now, what was in that cup? What was it that Jesus was asking the Father to take from him? The pollution of sin was in that cup. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, according to Paul's writing of 2 Corinthians 5:21. Here was a sinless, spotless, stainless Lamb of God with no blemishes, but he is going to be made into sin. Every sin of every believer was placed in this cup for Jesus to drink. Blasphemy settled into this cup. Rape, adultery, sexual perversion settled into this cup. The murder of innocent children by abortion settled into this cup. Drug abuse settled into this cup. Satanic worship and even murder settled into this cup. Pride and lust and envy settled down inside his cup. And Jesus would bear on behalf of every child of God throughout history. Amen. My sin was in that cup. Listen to me tonight, church and Facebook and sermon audio. Yes, the pollution of sin was in that cup. And that filthy sin would be put in the sinless lips of Jesus. Let me ask you, is your sin in that cup? Or will you be drinking the cup for yourself? Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the message. And we ask your blessings, Lord, as we go our separate ways, that we keep envy out of the household, not only the literal family of a household of brothers and sisters, we keep it out of the household of the church, of the body of Christ, of the bride of Christ, because the devil will use it in discouragement. And he has used that tool so much and worn it out so much that he has broken down one of the greatest ministries that you have given us across this nation to use on your behalf to ministry. We're in the mascot. We're in the missionary team, the body of Christ, and we're working together to do a great work to rescue the ones that are lost and that are perishing and that are on their way into the depths of hell. Thank you tonight for this message. Lord, the seven deadly sins of everyday life. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you tonight for tuning us in. And I hope you got something out of the message tonight. And I hope and pray that God will just use you in such a mighty way as we go forward, each and every one of us. May God bless you as our prayers as we leave out tonight. Thank you for tuning us in. And remember, you can preach a better sermon with your life than with your lips. May God bless you.